Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Keno's Beard podcast. How are you, Keen?
Very well, Dale. How are you?
Not too bad. We're in Jeff's pub in Waterford, so there might be a bit of background noise. We're going to see how it goes this week. A bit of music and a bit of chatter in the background.
But we said we'd record in the pub, so we may as well give it one shot at least.
Please enjoy reasonably.
Yeah, please enjoy sensibly.
Going on last week's Premier League fixtures, our predictions turned out quite poor.
We didn't do well now last weekend, but we learn from our mistakes and move on, I suppose. That's the only thing we can do, isn't it?
Did you get any of them right?
I got West Ham right. That was my bet of the weekend. I got Liverpool right, from what I remember. I think they're the only two I got right.
Got Liverpool right, but I did say they'd find it difficult, and which day...
You said they'd win easily.
Fairly
easily.
Which was the complete opposite. It's a tough task for them.
They only scored one goal themselves.
Richard Dunn, the main striker. Liverpool this season.
There's actually a tweet by a USA soccer guy, and he kind of takes the piss out of Premier League soccer in his own American way, and he said, Richard Dunn scores a own goal conversion shot into his
QPR
own.
QPR got done.
They got done, yeah.
So on that, on the fixtures last week, you obviously watched Liverpool.
I did.
It was something you learned from that game.
I learned Liverpool, they just haven't settled yet. The team hasn't gelled. Up top, Mario Balotelli shouldn't be leading the line. He's not a lone striker, especially in the system that Liverpool play, where you have to press the defence and push up high. He's just uninterested in that. Doesn't want to do it.
Is it down to Rodgers' tactics? Should he, with Sturridge out, should there be someone accompanying him? Well, what do you do?
It should never be down to the manager's tactics. If you're a player, you go by your manager's tactics. Yeah. He makes the decisions. He bought you for a reason to fit into his system.
Especially when he brings you in.
System. Yeah. It's not the Mario Balotelli show whatsoever. It's Liverpool Football Club. They're a lot bigger than Mario Balotelli. Like, when Robbie Keane didn't work out, he was gone in January. That happened again.
Could this happen? Would that happen again?
I think it very possibly could. Because he was... At least Robbie tried, as Jamie Redknapp said at the weekend. During the week, actually. He just looks disinterested in swapping shirts at half-time in the Madrid match.
He's a player that really frustrates me, Balotelli, because when he came to England first with City, he was very, very young.
Yeah.
And there was so much prospect, and it's just... We know he has the ability. He can turn on whenever he wants to.
Very
sometimes
talented.
His head just switches.
Yeah.
He's either a loose cannon or he's not interested. And that's why Pierre Balotelli's ability should be worth more than 60 million. But when he comes with a luggage
that's it.
Overpowers his actual talent, and that's why...
60 million seems kind of like a risk worth taking at the time.
Yeah.
And if the risk doesn't work out, you can get rid of it fairly easily.
Yeah.
But
of course.
Kevin, a listener of ours, actually asked... Similar question that you asked: is Balotelli's career doomed, or should we wait till Sturridge to return from injury before judgment?
I think you should wait. Of course, you give him time. It's only been how many weeks? Season's only started. It's not been a good start. He's not giving you much to hold on to. But Liverpool last season, you had Sturridge and you had Suarez, both strikers that will work for you.
Yeah.
But Balotelli, it's very, very different. He won't work for you. But you see a lot of managers that like to go with the contrast of both up top. Someone
that
will work and someone that kind of sit as number 9.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he is number
Rooney
9.
Rooney and Van Persie kind of like is very similar.
It could work out. That's why we say be wary of writing off just yet. But right now, Balotelli's start has been nothing to go on.
I'd agree with you there. I'd wait till Sturridge returns because they played one game and Liverpool won 4-0. So you have to kind of give it a bit of time, give the partnership a bit of time.
Yeah.
So that's basically that. Like, not much more you can say about Balotelli. I think the media have kind of exhausted everything.
Yeah,
while
it's not the Liverpool show, so
we move on to the Champions League. Or
we can give a brief kind of account on how.
I just want to talk about Tuesday and how. Oh, Southampton or
Southampton? Tell us about Southampton the weekend.
Got me going now.
He got me going.
8-0. It was something to behold. The attacking by Southampton was just fantastic. And I think Dusan Tadic is my new favourite player in the world of football. Brilliant player. His interview after the match was very good. He said...
good in the mic?
No, he said he was very confident in himself. He said well, I've played in a 7-0 victory before and I've scored four and scored one and assisted four, so this is nothing new to me.
Yeah, confidence,
very
though.
Good, yeah. He's very confident in his ability. Why shouldn't he be?
Why shouldn't he be when he's playing like that?
Yeah.
And obviously Ron Koeman, who we touched on last week, is won the Manager of the Month award, yeah. And that kind of win to back it up.
And Graziano Pell, Player of the Month.
You know, they're in flying form.
Should have had the hat-trick, I think.
It's a club that people wrote off for a season start because they lost so many players.
Only so, I thought.
Yeah, well, look, they're proving everyone wrong, aren't they?
Yeah.
So,
at the time being, best defence in Europe.
Barcelona, I have something to say about that.
Barcelona. In terms
have
of
not conceded, have not conceded a goal in the Liga so far this season.
But they have not faced Cristiano Ronaldo.
Not yet. The Clásico is coming up soon.
At the weekend.
We can talk about the fantastic attacking players Madrid have and how Barcelona's defence will be tested.
Definitely will be tested. There's no question will it be tested. Mm. Ronaldo's goal in midweek in the Champions League just shows how class he is.
Player in terrific form, but there's a lot of talk too. I don't particularly like people comparing Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. One's in terrific form right now, one's not in bad form, but he's not in the same form as Ronaldo right now.
Yeah,
it's not to say he's a less player.
They both go through those kind of patches where one of them is better than the other. I don't like the argument because they're both players of a lifetime. We should just enjoy them while they're there.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
We'll never get them again.
No.
For a long time. Two at least at the same time we'll never get.
So do you think this weekend will be, because obviously it's the return of Luis Suarez.
Yeah, of course.
Will we see the return of, I suppose, to what we expect of Lionel Messi and run the show?
With Suarez in the team starting?
I don't think Suarez will start. I think he might come on in the second half maybe.
Second
but Luis, but I mean, Lionel Messi, can we expect...
He always steps up in a Clásico and plays a good game. But in saying that, I don't think he'll dominate. I think Real Madrid will win that match. Even with Barcelona's good defensive record, I think Madrid have too much attacking capabilities.
Yeah.
And that's not to say Barcelona don't. I just think Madrid are more equipped for the weekend.
Yeah, well, look, I think this whole statistic that the last time Barcelona conceded in the Liga was when Atletico Madrid won the league.
Yeah, last game of the season.
That's been over something like 159 days since that, which is a long, long time. But like you just said, the players they're going to come up against this weekend, it's a massive test for them.
It is. Even if you shy away from Ronaldo, like Rodriguez, Cruz, Modric, Benzema.
If Bale is available,
of course. So, I think...
Predictions?
It'd be a good game. It would be a good game, but
a classic.
Of course, it is a classic. 3-2 Madrid.
3-2 Madrid.
Yeah.
Right. I said Madrid before we came on. I'd say Madrid again. I'm gonna go 2-1 Madrid.
2-1 Madrid.
I think it'd be very tight. Well, look, it's very tough derby, like all derbies, to give a scoreline prediction because you never know what could happen.
Yeah.
Pepe could lose his head,
Ramos
get sent off, cause a riot, throw pig heads on the pitch. You never know what happens in a Clásico. You can never predict.
It's unpredictable, but that's why people love it. It's the most watched derby in the world. Most watched football
for a good reason.
Like it's
for a good reason.
Two brands of football.
So just, I suppose, on to the Champions League and sticking with Real Madrid. Liverpool, arguably the biggest Champions League encounter as far as English clubs are concerned.
Definitely.
Lost 3-0. You watched the game, first half, let me know.
I did, the first half, first quarter of the game, Liverpool were pretty good at pressing Real, but the commentator said Real knew in the back of their minds Liverpool won't be able to keep this up. And Mario Balotelli definitely won't keep that up. But Real just got a foothold and took control and Ronaldo scored.
To Balotelli, you get a chance to keep it up.
By being taken
keep
off.
Bottle.
By being taken off. a rumour going around why he didn't play the second half is they only had one Balotelli jersey in the dressing room. But no, I don't think he should have started that game.
Well, I don't know, is there only one Balotelli jersey? I think he probably struggled to put on the jersey like the other bibs.
Yeah. I don't think he should have started though. I think
Who should have started up top?
Sterling. Ryan
and play Lallana.
Lallana, Coutinho.
Like he did in the second half, yeah, really.
Pretty much what the team would play in the second half. Because Sterling getting to the channels cause a few problems. He'll run about, he'll hassle Pepe and Varane. You know, it's just he works for the team. He wants to be at the club. I don't think Balotelli wants to be there.
It's funny, I know we're back on Balotelli again. I think when Balotelli arrived back to
Premier League, he just kind of brings the attention towards it, doesn't he?
But even in the second half, that's all I caught of the game. And obviously Sterling was up top, and yeah, Lallana didn't do too bad.
He
got involved straight away. He was directing play.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't see Stevie Gerrard. I thought he wasn't playing. And
yeah,
I think in games like that, and he's getting to the age now, it's still expected of him. And I was talking to people fans before the game, and they're kind of saying, "Oh, we'll win tonight, I'm confident." And I was kind of thinking, are you mental? No, we'll win.
That confidence, though, in the Champions League.
But they were going on evidence that how they've shown up in Champions League nights before. But it's been a long time since they've had been in the Champions League. And I don't even think losing 3-0 to Madrid, it's not embarrassing. It may be a bit disappointing. But you're facing the European champions.
10 times European champions,
exactly,
for that matter.
There was actually a Vine on Twitter this morning. There was a fan that Ronaldo walked past him,
yeah,
and he got up off his seat and started showing a 5-time symbol at him. Like, Madrid have won it 10 times. Who are you joking?
Maybe he was just looking for a high five off the best player in the world.
Maybe.
Tell me now, Dale, what happens when you go to Man City?
You buy one, you get one free.
What's this about now?
Man City, as far as I'm aware, read into a small bit. You buy a ticket last week and you buy one get one free
for the Champions League game at
Moscow, far as I'm aware, it was a Champions League game. I could be wrong, but what made me think about it was that when City fans went over to the game, no fans were allowed into the stadium because of the opposition.
Team's probably used to that.
Empty seats. But the reason was that their opposition have been accused or have been
found guilty of
racial slurs during games and chants or whatever you want to call it, whatever, that bigotry. It was an empty crowd, although they still left 500 fans into the ground, which is madness, and City are complaining about that. Mm. But United fans had a bit of a joke about it on Monday night against West Brom. You go out to Man City, you buy one, get one free. And that cat hatched on. City don't sit out the ground. But, like, realistically, I don't find a joke in it. They're just not as big as Manchester United, Liverpool, or Chelsea,
not
or Arsenal.
Yet, anyway.
Yes.
Because they're building, trying to build a brand. You know, and you can't fault them for that.
No.
Because they're doing a good job in it. Like, they're winning Premier
leagues.
The only fault you can find in it is on the European stage when they don't seem to perform.
Like, I seen a tweet during the week from the Sasha Turkington on Twitter, a good follow, by the way. She said, Manchester City in Europe is like being a great kisser and being shit in bed.
It's spot on. But what's the name of that Twitter?
Natasha Turks.
I'll give that a follow.
But on to another English team. You got Arsenal, who came from behind with 2 minutes to go. 2-1.
They were terrible, though.
An out of jail card yet again for the Gunners.
At the weekend, Welbeck proved us right.
Got
them out of jail, our boy Danny. But they got the important part, which is the win.
Yeah,
that's
3 points in the bag.
That's all worrying about, especially when you play so poorly away from home in the Champions League. Now Anderlecht have to go to the Emirates. And I think Arsenal, with the way they play at the Emirates, they'll be comfortable. Like,
of course they will.
Chelsea, 6-0.
Who are they playing again? Can't pronounce that.
Mickey Mouse FC. No, Maribor.
I hope their fans aren't listening.
No disrespect to Maribor fans, but obviously it was always going to be a big result, but you can always be proud of a 6-0 winner, no matter who you are, who you're playing.
No, it doesn't really matter. You know, they're going into the game against Manchester United this weekend full of confidence.
Brimming full of confidence.
Whereas in contrast, Manchester United have drawn with West Brom.
Yeah.
Not so much.
No, and that's it. Like, United shouldn't even got a point from that game, I don't think.
Arguably.
I think West Brom were very, very good and deserved the win from the way they played.
Berahino
is a fantastic talent. I rate very highly. And Andrew Wisdom also at right back.
Also, of course, with Chelsea, you're looking at Diego Costa, who is apparently out for the weekend. I know he was out last weekend and out for midweek. We can never buy Mourinho.
He's been out since the start of the season, apparently. You know, I think we should have Mourinho and Costa watch as a feature next week, see what they get up to. Yeah, have a camera on them or something, because they're always planning something, the two of them.
Will he play at the weekend?
Yes, he will.
I think so.
He won't not play him. Especially with Remy out, if he's even 70% fit, he's going to get a game.
I think, to be honest, as much as I'm a United fan, I think a one-legged Diego Costa could get past that defence.
Yeah. What do you think of Rojo at centre-back?
United fans have been quite mixed about Rojo. I think myself, I'm yet to be convinced of him as a centre-half.
It's still early.
His best performance has been at left-back. And realistically, when you spend 30 million on Luke Shaw at left-back, he has to give benefit of the doubt there.
And he was bought to fit into the 3-5-2 system.
You think so?
Which didn't work out.
No.
He obviously changed up. There was times...
Do you think, actually, on that 3-5-2 system... Yeah. I know we've got Champions League talk, but there was a record Tuesday night of 40 goals scored.
Yeah.
And this 3-5-2 system is being played throughout Europe now. And there's lots of... Since Ireland bet Gibraltar, was 8-0?
8-0,
since then, in Premier League and Champions League, you're seeing teams with massive score lines.
Huge.
Is it because of the...
Bayern Munich 7-0 against Roma.
The want.
7-1.
The want of that. Roma play a 3-5-2 formation. Uh-huh. Is it because of this formation? It's so...
Possibly, but in the Premier League it doesn't seem to work.
No.
It just doesn't, because teams set up with 4-5-1s that counteract that 3-5-2. It's park the bus, basically.
Yeah.
And that seems to work for them. Like, in Europe you get teams setting up 3-5-2 against 3-5-2. So I don't think in the Premier League it would work, but I think in Europe it's definitely working for them. Like, because it's not an issue. It's a good tactic to play if you're a European side.
Or in Premier League, it's an issue, though.
Yeah, it won't work in the Premier League.
I think on that note...
It's not modern enough tactic to work in the Premier League.
I think, actually, on that note, you know, everyone started the season kind of said that Louis van Gaal asked for 3 months, he wants to implement his own tactics, and everyone kind of said, look, it'll take United time. And yeah, it will. It will take... It will. But for the manager...
that as well, didn't he? He had to rethink the 3 months as well recently.
Exactly the point I'm going to make is that for the manager himself, as much as tactical magician, he needs to adapt to English football.
Yeah.
And he started to notice against West Brom. He brought Fellaini on. Big workhorse in midfield.
He scored a fantastic goal.
And he did quite well.
Done very well.
After the game, Louis van Gaal spoke briefly about in England you need a big, strong midfielder.
Yeah.
And he's getting to grips with that now.
He is.
So he has to implement his own philosophy.
He had Daley Blind as well. Mm. He signed for that. And he scored too. So two big, strong midfielders scoring goals.
It's funny because the last few years Manchester United have struggled to score from midfield, and they have done this season.
But Carrick will be back soon as well.
Yeah.
And Carrick will put in a good work, good shift all the time.
So on to...
another midfielder, Glenn Whelan.
Another midfielder,
Unfortunate.
Broke his leg.
Bad signs for Stoke and Ireland.
And Ireland,
especially with the qualifier against Stoke coming up. I know, look...
Against Stoke.
Stoke's... Scotland, sorry. let's be real. He's not a Chabby Longo.
He's not. But he's a Glenn Whelan.
And he's our Glenn Whelan. And he does a decent job.
He keeps possession.
You know, he tries to keep possession. He's a good heart.
I love the word try in there. No, he gets criticism from Ireland fans. No, he's not a Yavi Alonso. But he does his job in midfield in the centre. Martin Leedon, like, he wouldn't select him.
No,
if he
wouldn't.
Do you know, like, if you look
Roy, I'd say Roy would have a few words.
But if you look on Twitter during a game or before a game or after a game, you have these experts.
Yeah.
They're kind of thinking, why aren't you Manchester Football Club? Why do you know more than Martin O'Neill?
But
Martin O'Neill is selecting for a reason.
I have to say, we can't expect to have this world-class midfielder like Roy Keane at the moment, because we just don't have it. We can't expect Glenn Whelan to play as well as Keane did in his time, or as Alonso or Pirlo does. Like, he's not on that level, and he never will be.
No.
So we just have to appreciate and rue the fact that he's out for the Scotland game. I think
he's going to be out for a while with a broken leg. I think he's going to be a miss.
Especially for Stoke.
The only thing you will say about Ireland is McCarthy is back.
Yeah, and Gibson, I rate higher than Whelan, will slot in fairly easily.
Do you rate higher than Whelan?
I do, yeah. I do rate Gibson higher.
Okay. Another player that got lots of stick, I think Gibson's a good footballer.
Yeah.
He's not a Yavi Alonso, though.
No.
But
it's very hard to get one.
Why should we compare every midfielder to Xabi Alonso? He's a world class, you know.
We don't compare people to Ronaldo or Messi.
If everyone was the same as Xabi Alonso, Xabi Alonso would be good.
Yeah.
He'd be a normal midfielder.
He'd be a Glenn Whelan.
He wouldn't be a world class player.
You know, maybe Glenn Whelan is world class.
The Glenn Whelan podcast. We've changed our name from Keno's Beard.
Whelan Appreciation Society. Rest in peace, Keno's Beard.
So going on, I suppose when you look at Victor Valdez and how he didn't move to Liverpool,
which is reportedly meant to happen.
Training for Manchester United now to recover from his injury. Not signing yet.
No.
But from inside sources with ESPN and so on, they're letting it known that if he does impress coaches and mentally or physically and performance-wise in training, they will sign him. What does that say to David De Gea?
What does that say to David De Gea staying at United? As the rumour earlier on during the week, I know we can't take these for gospel, but Real are meant to be very interested in him.
Yeah.
I think he's a former Atletico boy, though, so I'm not sure how that would work out.
Well, Adam Crafton from the Daily Mail said last night that De Gea is aware of Madrid's interest, but he's settled in Manchester with his family. But I know I keep saying United fan the whole lot, but look at it this way. You're living in Manchester. It's pissing down every single day, or very often anyway.
Suarez was settled last year in the north of England as well.
And then you have the chance.
We just have to wait for De Gea to bite someone now to engineer a move, I think.
But even then you have the chance to live in sunny Madrid or sunny Barcelona.
Yeah, capital city. Move back home. Because he is a Madrid guy, like, so.
For the sake of Premier League.
He did come out and say he isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Staying at United.
But look,
I think he will, for
the sake of Premier League, you want to keep the best players, and David De Gea at the moment is a fantastic goalkeeper.
I think he should be Spain's number one.
I think it's coming to the stage he will be now. He played for Spain a long time.
Casillas is only being picked on merit at the moment. I think, but Valdez,
I don't know about Valdez.
Is very similar, you said earlier on during the week, it's very similar to Beckham at Arsenal
trainer.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if a move will come from it.
With Mignolet playing so poorly at Liverpool, do you think, as a Liverpool fan, Valdez should have been signed? Is he better than Mignolet?
I don't think he's better.
Is it worth the choice for a free agent?
He would have been a good signing in terms of competition.
He's a free agent after all. It's not that much of a risk.
Injury worries maybe would have been a problem, but if he was going to be number two goalkeeper anyway, it's not going to be that big a factor.
Yeah.
And Mignolet needs something to kind of get him going again, kind of make him stand up and think, I might not be in this side anymore. Because Brad Smith, good a goalkeeper as he is, or he's not that good.
He's a good shoe on now in the background.
He's average. But I think Mignolet needed Valdez to sign for Liverpool.
Was a regret leaving Pepe Reina leave so freely?
As a Liverpool fan,
didn't get much of a chance under Rodgers, has he?
No, he was never given a chance under Rodgers. And I like Pepe. I think he's the best goalkeeper I've ever seen in my lifetime at Liverpool.
At Liverpool?
Yeah, at Liverpool. I said at Liverpool. I didn't say of all time. But I think letting Pepe go was a big mistake. I think he could have pushed Mignolet. But Rodgers invested his fate in Mignolet, so he didn't want to go back on that. Hopefully he doesn't invest too much faith in Balotelli.
Have you got another question before we go into predictions?
There's another one from Kevin. He's asking, should Victor Moses be punished for the penalty incident at Swansea last week?
Look, the way I see diving, now Victor Moses obviously dived, cheated to get the penalty. Look, I just think if you were going around banning and fining, or not just banning people that dive in football, he wouldn't have 11 players next week.
No, he definitely wouldn't.
It's a part of the game now, whether we like it or not.
I think in terms of that incident and in terms of any incident, it's down to the referee's judgment all the time.
Yeah.
And whatever the ref says goes. And
it's part of the game now, whether we like it or not.
We have to put up with it. Did you actually see Leandro Damião? I can't pronounce his name, over in Brazil.
No.
He tugged his own shirt.
Oh yes, I have seen that.
Trying to get
now you deserve a ban for that.
Yeah,
that's just
got a 6-game
ridiculous. Ridiculous.
That's terrible. And Kevin also asked, who's your front three
for Fantasy Premier League for your strikers?
I'm trying to think who mine are. I have Danny Welbeck.
You invest a lot more faith in Welbeck than I do, I'd say that much.
Danny Welbeck.
I think he can be good, but you invest so much faith in him.
Yeah, I do. I like Danny. I like Danny a lot. So Danny Welbeck, Falcao, and Diego Costa.
Costa. Mine is... Oh, you're gonna be jealous of me here.
Okay.
Diafre Sacco.
Okay.
Graziano Pell. Diego Costa.
It's a lot cheaper than my one.
Yeah, and it gets a lot
effective.
More points.
Effective.
I was raging that Costa couldn't play last weekend because the two lads got me 27 points between them. And Costa would have been my captain, and I think he could have got a few goals against Palace.
Okay.
But also...
One more question. I think it's the most interesting one of the day.
Yeah,
who's
it
from?
And I'm going to actually put this out to the listeners as well, if you want to voice your opinions. And this one is from Michael, also a listener. He says, who would you most like from any Premier League manager to be your masseuse?
Okay, I'm going to take this question, right? We'll both answer.
And break it down tactically.
I want to hear also the manager you would least want to be your masseuse.
I was
going to
say that too.
Okay, so tell me the manager you want to hear as your masseuse.
Gus Poyet.
Why?
I think Gus, right, he's a... Kind of, he's a gentleman.
I would not call Gus Poyet gentleman.
In the interviews after games, he's soft spoken. I think he could serenade you. But that's my.
Would he use baby oil or cream?
Baby oil. Yeah, baby oil.
Who would you least like to masseuse?
It's actually between two people.
Okay.
But if I had to choose one, between Van Gaal and Sam Allardyce. I had to choose one, it'd be Sam Allardyce.
Why?
You just know.
It's gonna be rough, isn't it?
He's gonna break your shoulders, I think. Who would you like for your
Me, Roberto Martinez.
Yeah.
I think he has that delicate touch.
Oh, like his teams.
Like his teams, and then he knows in the midfield when to get tough. He knows in the midfield with Gareth Barry when to get tough.
You thought about this a lot more than I have. Mine was an off the cuff answer.
Going forward, you have a nice little touch of Naismith. So, least want, I have it between three actually. I've Louis Van Gaal like you have,
yeah.
I've Sam Allardyce like you have, but who I'd least like to give me a massage would be Steve Bruce.
Oh, you'd get chip fat on your back or something. Grease. He'd use grease from a fryer.
Not only would he use his nose, I think it would be very, very sore after the...
Yeah.
He was a tough centre-back, Steve Bruce. Very tough.
Very tough. Very
great
centre-half.
Very good, but he was tough. And I think, if you want torture, book up Allardyce, Van Gaal, and of course Steve Bruce.
On that note with Steve Bruce, I'm going to name him my character of the week, which is a new feature we're going to be doing.
Okay.
Did you see him on the train?
No.
There's a picture of him on the train on the way to Sam Allardyce's 60th birthday.
His funeral.
Well, it's not his funeral, but the way West Ham are playing, I think he's rejuvenated now, isn't he?
He is. Attacking football, very good football.
Two good centre forwards. Who's your character of the week?
Character of the week is Tarat. With, of course, Harry Redknapp. With the whole, he's put on too much weight, or he's 3 stone overweight, and he posts a picture on Twitter to prove he's not. He looks quite lean, I must say.
Yeah, he's not getting games, though.
Tell you, if he's overweight, I wonder what Harry Redknapp thinks of me.
Jeez, I wouldn't want to know what he thinks of me. On to our predictions for the weekend. We're going to try do a lot better than last weekend.
I hope you put no accumulator bets on us.
I hope you just bet West Ham in a single, like I said. But,
right, so first off, you got West Ham, Man City.
I didn't choose Man City last weekend. Should have.
They're away from home this week.
Yeah, and West Ham are playing good football. But I think City will come through and do a professional job, play it like champions do away from home, get a professional win.
Okay.
And just get the 3 points, so I'll go at Man City. You?
Going for a shock result for West Ham. Playing great football as well. They're at home, Upton Park. City and Chelsea, if I expect one of them to slip, it's going to be City.
Yeah,
the fact they're tough opposition at home, West Ham are in great form, they're confident. I'm going to go West Ham this week.
Yeah, their front two have been phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to go for a shock in the next fixture too.
Oh, all right. might have a falling out at the end of this podcast, Dale. It is Liverpool at Hull, at Anfield.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I don't expect Liverpool to win. I expect it to be a draw, but I also don't expect Hull to win. That's basically all I have to say on that matter.
I think going on what I said, I'm going for a shock result.
Yeah.
On the basis of Liverpool, the way they perform, it could go either way here. Yeah. My prediction.
I did say last week they struggled against QPR, and they did. They were very lucky to get the win. So are you going for a Hull win or a draw?
The fact you're asking that when I tell you that it's a shock.
I think I know the answer for this one.
I'm going for a Hull win this week. I think Hull are in thriving form. Liverpool are the quite opposite.
They got a good draw last week, Hull.
They are away from home, Hull, but they need to go at Liverpool, like the way West Ham did, go at them.
But teams aren't afraid of Liverpool this year like they were last year. Even though they knew they could score against Liverpool, they knew Liverpool could score more.
Yeah.
There's no fear factor at Liverpool anymore, you know, and we just don't have it. But I still don't think we lose on that note. Now, my team of the year so far, Southampton.
Turmoil?
Southampton win, obviously. I like Stoke. But
it won't be easy, though. Stoke will be much more defensively inept than actually Sunderland.
Yeah, but
it won't be an 8-0 toss.
I don't really rate Stoke as much away from home as I would at home. So I'm going to go with Southampton.
Mm.
Especially in the form they're in, they're just blowing teams away. They might have lost 2 weeks ago, but last week showed they bounced back tremendously. So I'm going to go with Southampton.
Yeah, that's an easy one. There's not much analysis to do on that one. Sunderland and Arsenal. As easy, if not easier.
It's not as easy, even though Sunderland were the team, Southampton bet 8-0.
The receiving end of that, absolute drilling.
It'll be a completely different team. Absolutely different team that faced Southampton last week. And I think they'll play better, but I think Arsenal will still get the victory in that one.
Danny Welbeck. Score two.
Score one at least.
Right, no Danny Welbeck. He's in fancy football, he better top me up. Arsenal win. I think.
Palace and West Brom are our next game.
West Brom are obviously impressed against United. Kept him to a draw.
Flying form.
Exactly. He's 6 goals so far this season, and I can fancy him topping up another one or two against Palace.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll go with a West Brom win there. I just can't see Palace negating Berahino up front. So West Brom win. We're agreeing on a few of these now. I'm starting to like you again, Dale. Swansea against Leicester.
I'm going to go Swansea. They're at home. They have more Premier League experience. Both sides are strong up top. Boney and what's the guy for Leicester? Ulia.
Ujoa, James Vardy. I'm very impressed at the start of the season.
So both teams are reasonably strong up top. Yeah. I'm going to go for Swansea for the sake of Premier League experience. They are at home as well.
I'm sick of agreeing with you, so I'm going to go with a draw. I like the way Leicester have fought in their games this year. I'm very shocked at the loss against Newcastle last week, actually.
Oh, we must do actually in report last week. We will check whose predictions were right last week and who were right this week, and we'll start doing a scorecard. It's like 1-0, 1-1, or whatever.
And the loser each week has to buy the other one a pint.
Yeah.
And we'll enjoy it sensibly. I
can't promise that.
I think Swansea and Leicester will draw.
I'm going for Swansea win. Burnley and Everton.
Everton for me, after Coleman and Barkley coming back, they look like the team last year, even though it was only one game last week.
Well, look at Lukaku's service when scoring goals last season. It was a lot of emphasis on Barkley, who's back now.
And the balance between Barkley and Leighton Baines at fullback.
Mm.
It's the best fullback combination, I think, in the league.
Arguably so.
Can't find one better. So maybe defensively, Ivanovic and Azpilicueta. But in terms of attacking, Coleman and Baines are just fantastic.
I suppose Chelsea, you've got Felipe Luiz, who offers that attack in front.
Yeah,
but that's not balanced, though, is it really?
No, it's not. But Ivanovic is very good defensively, and he can go forward
as well. He scores goals.
He does very good for corners. Who are you going for?
Everton.
We're agreeing again.
Okay.
I think we're going to agree on this one too, because we haven't been impressed with Newcastle this year.
No.
They're playing Spurs at White
Hart Lane. And they're away from home.
Spurs are a very up and down team.
they could win this 5-0 and then lose 2-0 the week after. But I think they'll give Newcastle a drubbing here, especially after their performance midweek.
They did win last weekend, Newcastle, 1-0. So with a bit of confidence, I know they're away from home, I know Spurs won't be easy. I'm going to go for a draw for a second difference. Yeah. Second mean difference.
Okay.
I just think on this note, we should mention a certain Lamela. Scored a fantastic goal.
What a goal.
In the Europa League during the week. What's the colour, Rabola?
I think it's a Rabola. Rabola. I was never good enough to learn the name of it.
What made the goal so special? It wasn't that, like, it was just, I know, we all know he has the talent. It's the fact that he had the bollocks to actually pull that off in a game 90 minutes and to score. You know, if he was to miss that, the criticism he would come in for.
A lot of slate. And remember
exactly.
David Dunn a few years back for Birmingham.
It doesn't work out all the time. And you look at Marcus Rojo. Marcus Rojo in the World Cup tried it in a defensive situation for Argentina inside his own box. He tried it and it worked. But I was kind of thinking, you don't do that in your own box.
No.
I wouldn't even do it outside the pitch, but he did and it worked out. So, Lamela.
It begs the question though, how bad is Lamela's right foot if he had to use his left foot with a
little
trigger?
His bollocks is superior. Put it that way.
Big bollocks, alright. We'll leave that at that now. We won't say anything else. United versus Chelsea, the game of the week for us. Obviously so.
Obviously.
You're a United fan.
Yeah, as a United fan.
How much are you going to lose by?
I'm not going to go into numbers, but I think it's going to be very, very difficult. As I said, we expect Diego Costa to start. I expect him to score. Yeah, Fabregas creating goals all around. I think we might get a trim in United. I think so. I think Chelsea are in such top form. United aren't. They're playing well in patches. And defensively, it's a struggle for Louis van Gaal's side. Chelsea, look, I think John Terry and Cahill at times can be subject.
Yeah.
So in order for it to make it an interesting game, and maybe make it a draw, maybe United win, you don't know. You need Angel Di Maria, you need Falcao, and whoever plays up start is to be on fire.
What do you make of Di Maria being injured? You were well into that there. I couldn't get a word in.
It was, is it a dead leg? Or is it more than that? We don't know. We'll see on Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday 4 o'clock.
I'm going to go with Chelsea, but I don't think you'll get a trimming. I think it'll be United will play a lot better than they have. They always step it up against big teams and at Old Trafford.
Okay.
And I think Chelsea will just nick it 1-0 maybe. Mourinho will park the bus.
To wrap it up,
4-1.
We're a bit over time.
QPR, Villa.
Who are you going for?
I'm going to go with a draw here. Be boring.
I'm going to go for a Villa win for the sake of Keno's long lost beard.
Rest in peace to that beard.
Not much to say on that, but we will keep track of our predictions.
If you were doing an accumulator this week, what would you do?
What do you think? What do you mean?
What would you do if you were going to do your own accumulator? I'd go with Southampton, Chelsea, West Brom and Arsenal.
I would go West Ham to boost up your moolah. Hull City, do it again. And Southampton, United, Chelsea, and Villa.
Nice one. Mine is just a cash builder. Thanks anyway, folks. Hope you enjoyed episode 2 of Keno's Beard.
Back next week.